A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and DeGenevieve.
Well, there's a new federal holiday. It was signed into law last week, and the holiday happened on Friday. It was commemorating the end of slavery. It's Juneteenth, June 19th, and it is the first federal holiday since Martin Luther King Jr. was Junior Day was created in 1983. I just need some clarity. It seems like everybody took the day off work to commemorate the holiday on Friday, but the holiday itself is on Saturday.
The 19th.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And I am learning more about this. Originally, I thought Juneteenth was the day of the Emancipation Proclamation, Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation, but it's actually different than that. It was the time when slaves in Texas learned that they had been freed, and that was more than 2 years after Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation.
We got more information from NBC News reporter Janelle Ross. She's going to give us an explanation here. And in a moment, Jason Lee from the Deseret News is going to talk more about this bipartisan decision to make Juneteenth a federal holiday.
Juneteenth is a celebration of the end of slavery in the United States. It is tied to or originated in Texas, where slavery ended last in the United States.
So it was the last state to officially abolish slavery. Joining us now, Jason Lee from the Deseret News is here to talk to us more about this decision. And what I love about this, Jason, is it was actually a bipartisan decision. It seems like nothing gets done in Washington right now without it being straight down party lines. But this one seemed to be to have support from both sides.
You know, Dave, what I found even more amazing is it basically happened in 1 week, and the holiday took effect immediately. There's part of me that wonders, like, why can't they do that all the time? But that's a whole nother story. You know, when I first heard about it, I had the same kind of gratification you just described. And I feel like, you know, particularly since one of the things that I will mention, too, is the slaves were already free. The people in Texas just decided not to tell them. So, and that information hadn't gotten down there until General Granger came and informed them that that was happening. They should have done it beforehand. But that's another story. So I was gratified initially, but then I thought this became one of those shiny keys moments because, you know, I think about it, what was more important would have been having Election Day be a national holiday. It would have been something that would, for years to come, be beneficial to our nation. And a lot of other countries around the world already do that to make it easier for people to vote. And this way, it kind of removes a lot of impediments. And so I feel as though, even though it was bipartisan, there's part of me that thinks, you know, some of the politicians decided, you know, make the difficult decision and, you know, go with the harder fight. They chose this one to appease people so that they can forget that Election Day isn't a national holiday.
What does Juneteenth mean to you personally, Jason?
Man, Debbie, it's like I said, it's I didn't. First of all, I want to know. I grew up in Chicago. And I went to schools on the south side of Chicago, predominantly black. I didn't even learn about it until I had my first job in journalism in Milwaukee. And that was in the 90s. And I feel like it's one of those things that's very – it's part of history that isn't talked about very much.
Yeah, I agree.
And when I did find out about it more, I was disappointed in myself for not having to find out, you know, earlier. However, I think it's one of those things that I'm grateful to know it. I'm grateful to know that our country can come together on certain issues, and particularly though there's, again, disappointment as to how this happened and why it happened initially back in 65. I'm glad that more people know about it and more of our history is available to us because of it.
Jason, you know, go ahead.
Whether flaws or not, there's something positive about having information and be educated.
Well, and that has been part of the process for me, and I'm with you. I don't remember learning about this in high school history classes at all, that the slaves in Texas were the very last to know, and the information was 2 years behind. And in fact, I was reading this morning that a lot of the Southern slave owners who were aware that Texas was not in the know on this, and the Texas slaves were not in the know on this, they were trying to move their slaves to Texas because they were still under the impression that slavery was legal.
You know, and that's disappointing, right? I mean, it's even though the war had been fought, the decision had been made politically, you would think that we would all just kind of, you know, move forward in a way that go, you know, away from chattel slavery. But a lot of people, you know, for them, it was a business decision. There's some sense also that people of African-American descent were not equal to whites. And so they perpetrated what I think was a great disservice to those people, obviously, because they were treated very poorly.
The House voted 415 to 14. And I'm sure that, you know, nothing has 100% support just about ever. But why are some people opposed to this holiday?
That's a good question, Dave. I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to speculate because I don't think that's fair to those people who chose not to. But what I am grateful for is that the other 400 decided it was a good idea.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, I always think of like Hall of Fame votes. You know, that only one person in Major League Baseball has ever gotten all the votes. I mean,
yeah.
That means Hank Aaron and Babe Ruth didn't get all the votes. I mean, what kind of craziness is that, right? So.
Right.
There probably is always going to be some outliers, but in the end, the right thing was done, and we're all better for it.
Jason Lee, a reporter with the Deseret News, our colleague here at Broadcast House. It's so good that we can talk to you about this, and thank you so much for jumping on the line and you know, giving us your insight. And I'm Dave. 100% agree with Jason. I mean, when did we learn about this? Do you ever remember learning about this in high school?
No. There was so much in history class. Listen, we very well could have talked about it, but because I was sleeping through it or not paying attention, or maybe they didn't have it at all. We do ourselves a disservice by not focusing and really taking some of this American history more seriously.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.